WNYC Studios is supported by Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It. I'm Allison Stewart. Last February, when fashion designer Isaac Mizrahi was on our show to talk about his memoir, I Am, I asked him what he was most proud of professionally, and he said this.
I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to tell you the honest truth.
Oh, please.
The thing that I am most proud of that I have accomplished in my life is that I am on the brink of like changing the definition, like really adding the hyphen to the multi-hyphenate and becoming this kind of performer. Like that is what I'm like. That's why the book ends with this scene at the Carlyle. I don't know if you read the last scene yet. I mean, you just got it. But the point is like I, you know, literally shaking under the covers in that room in the Carlyle, right? Going, how will I do this? And then I do it, you know, and it's become really like a big part of my identity.
Well, the bona fide multi-hyphenate is doing it again with a residency at the Cafe Carlyle running through February 8th. The show is called Isaac Mizrahi, Movie Stars and Supermodels. And each night features stories from his more than three-decade career in fashion and entertainment, plus a whole bunch of great tunes. It also happens to coincide with the 25th anniversary to the month of the release of Unzipped, the seminal documentary about the launch of Isaac Mizrahi's 1994 collection.
How did you know that? I didn't even know that. Where did you come up with that?
We're public radio nerds.
You guys,
we know these
things. You are so smart.
Hi, how are you?
What? I'm good, actually. How are you?
I'm doing well. I just love the name of the show.
Yeah.
Movie Stars and Supermodels.
Me too.
So that means, in my mind, it makes me think there's going to be a bunch of professional stuff, perhaps a little spilling of tea.
Yes, tiny, tiny bit.
What's your vibe you're going for?
Well, you know, I have to say, like, I watch a lot of TV. I do. I watch an inordinate amount of TV. And a lot of it, I don't really watch. It's just on, you know, because I'm not a good sleeper. And it's on while I'm reading on mute. I mean, it's really sad. I like the company of a TV that's going. And I go, or also movies or any kind of newspapers or stuff. And I go, oh, I know that person. I know her. Oh, I know him. I know him. I know him. Right. And sometimes it's like, oops, I know him. You know, like whatever it is. And I think there are a lot of crazy stories. And, you know, like, for instance, last night I had my final rehearsal in front of a sort of an invited audience at a small club downtown in order to prepare for this. And I was telling a story about working with Charlize Theron on this Woody Allen movie in like 1998 or 2001 or whatever it was. And I was talking about Charlize, and all of a sudden this thing occurred to me about Meryl Streep. And so I just went into, and it's really a good, this is a good show for me to do because there's, you know, whatever preparation I do is always going to be enhanced with my crazy tangential thinking, you know? So last night didn't go at all to script, but it was good. You know what I mean? And honestly, what's sort of, I think, tricky about it is that, because I do a lot of jokes in the show, but also I do a lot of non-jokes. I just do like stories that are interesting, that don't really have punchlines, but that I think are really engrossing, you know? I mean, it's just, I think, funny.
So if I go see you on one night and I come back and see you on another night, will I see the same show? Or will the tangents, will you be able to engage in the tangents?
You know, I have to say, it sounds like I am the most unprofessional of performers in the world because it does change from night to night, sometimes incrementally, sometimes a lot. You know, the music set is the same. So that is the same. And, you know, that's why I love doing a nightclub show, because when you do, for instance, I did a one-man show downtown for a long time in 2000, and you can't change any of it. It was all committed to memory, and it was pretty good. But I think what I'm better at is just like saying, oh, hey, guys, how are you? You know, it's like That's why I think QVC is so much fun for me, because I literally just show up and start talking about stuff I like, which is stuff that I'm just offering to people to take, you know? I'm not even going to call it fashion. It's just like really good clothes, you know? But so when I show up now at the Carlisle, I go like, yeah, stop being nervous. This isn't about being nervous. It's just like QVC with songs, okay? And with stories and a few more jokes. And you could probably push it a little bit more because it's a tiny audience as opposed to 100 million people watching you, you know? Mm-hmm. No kidding. Like, I think, you know, it's like, I once interviewed the fabulous Elaine Stritch, who was also a Carlisle person. She played there a lot. And she called herself a raconteuse. You know, she didn't think she was a great singer. She thought she was a great raconteuse in terms of, you know, she could put the song across and like speak the song. But in fact, she was a great musician. Like, I thought I could listen to her sing a lot because I thought she was just interesting musically. Forget about what it was talking about, just the music she made. And, you know, Allison, like, I'm thinking of myself more and more as an unapologetic musician. Like, I am so proud of the set of songs that we've created, like the arrangements and anyway.
It's an eclectic group of songs.
Yes, it is.
Everything from like Bill Withers to...
Well, that's... No, Bill Withers we had to cut because... I'm sorry. I know. We tried and tried, but it was just too on the nose. It didn't work.
Oh, that's interesting.
But we have some other incredible kind of like surprises. And I don't want to give it away because...
Can you, for the audience, just two that are so different.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. There's a John Denver song in the show. Okay. I'm not going to tell you which one. That's crazy already, right? By the way, does anyone know about the politics of John? I don't know. I'm just saying. I just love the song, so it doesn't matter, right? And then the other thing I'm doing is a Madonna song in the show. How about that? That's pretty diverse, right? There's a Cy Coleman song in the show. There's a Leslie Bricus song in the show. There's a Leonard Bernstein. There's a lot of music.
My guest is Isaac Mizrahi. The name of his show at the Carlisle is Isaac Mizrahi, Movie Stars and Supermodels. The Carlisle is its own very special place. What is it about being there with this show as opposed to saying you did the show at Joe's Pub or the mm-hmm. Bell House?
Yes, right.
This show at the Carlisle, mm-hmm. what's the effect of it being there?
You know, I've worked at Joe's Pub. I've worked at mm-hmm. West Bank. I've worked at all the really good clubs in New York. And they're great in their own way, because if you play Joe's Pub, you get a certain kind of cachet. If you play the Bell House, you get a certain kind of cachet. The Carlisle, you know, last night I was talking about hotels, and I was talking about the fact that when you get to the hotel that I stay in California, the sheets are monogrammed with your initials. At this wasn't at the Carlisle. This was at a small mm-hmm. club downtown. And people didn't know what I was talking about. I said, you know what? This is going to work at the Carlisle because I know that that group is going to get.
No, right.
When you get to the hotel, you have these like fake, your initials are monogrammed. Like, hey, here's your bedding. You know, it's like really a little bit, you know, sort of, I don't know. It's a little bit gratuitous when they do that. But so for instance, you know, at the Carlisle, like, when I ask people to clap along with the music, I also say, or, you know, get your assistant on speakerphone and make her clap because it might be too much exertion for that audience, you know. But I love it there because, and what's funny is, I mean it, like, I have been spending a lot of time. I went to see a few shows there recently, and it does not get old. There's something, I swear, I think it's the lighting. I'm like a photon queen. Mm-hmm. Like if there's lighting involved, also those incredible murals, those, you know, the Vertez murals, you could literally just, if you hate the show, there's the Vertez murals to stare at and analyze, you know. I just love it.
When did you first start singing?
When did I first start breathing, Allison? I always sang, you know, and I know you read my book. I did female impersonations mm-hmm. starting, you know, for like anyone who would listen, starting at the age of, I don't know, 7 or something, or 9, right? And so since then, it's been like this thing I do, not necessarily the impersonations, but singing, you know. And I went to performing arts high school, and though I was an actor, and that was what we were learning to do is act, there was a lot of musical theater in that school at that time, you know. And it was always encouraged. I always took singing classes outside of school and dance classes outside of school. And so, you know, that training stays with you to the point where, like, oh, what was it? Oh, I was talking about this fabulous, do you know who Elizabeth Minchilli is? She's this wonderful blogger. She's Italian and she lives in Rome.
Yes, we've had her on the show.
Have you? Okay, she's incredible. But I'm going to tell you this. I have to pronounce her name Minchilli, because when I was in performing arts, they were like, no, in good Eastern Standard American speech, you cannot say Yves Saint Laurent. You have to say like Yves Saint Laurent. It's very important. Like, remember that. Unless you want to go and pronounce like, you know, chiffon. You know what I mean? So I can't say Elizabeth Minchilli because that's the Italian pronunciation, and the English spelling is Minchilli. Do you know what I mean?
Well,
and
it drives people insane. Would you sing Chianti for wine?
I might. No, I'm not kidding.
Have to do
I would
that?
Literally, I would consider that. I'm not kidding you. I would consider that.
Okay.
I'm not kidding.
That's very funny. So you, like you mentioned, you went to performing arts high school, and
yes,
then
I
you
did.
Transitioned into design. Mm-hmm. Do you ever engage in that fun game of what if I just stayed?
Yes.
And perform out what my life, what my
really,
career might be like?
Allison, do I ever? That's all I think about. Yeah.
But you had this amazing design career. I mean, it's not like you can have regrets that you
didn't
make it.
No. But what is funny about it is that, you know, I started really with this great desire to be on stage and this great desire to kind of be in the performing arts. And somehow, like, I'm not kidding, I chickened out and I went into fashion. Like, I was too scared of being exposed on that level, being rejected on that level, you know, because it's you they're talking about. It's not a product.
True.
It's like not someone saying the clothes are ugly or they don't work or something. It's like someone saying you are not good. You are just not good at this, you know. And so I think what fashion, the exposure in fashion taught me was this kind of objectivity about my work. And so now I feel ready. And I think that had I gone directly into entertainment and, you know, show business, I don't know. I don't know where I would have ended up. Honestly, if I had had the meteoric kind of, you know, fabulous success that I had in fashion in show business, I, you know, at 25 or whatever, I might have ended up like, you know, one of those really kind of scary people that take too many drugs or something and have to rehab and come back. You know, I don't know what I would have, you know, somehow fashion just seemed a little bit more, I don't know, you know, grounded. There was more organization about it. There was more tactile kind of handwork, you know, and there was such hard work. You had to like show up every single morning. So even though I did my share of, you know, experimentation with stuff, I always showed up the next day, you know.
That's so interesting about learning objectivity about your work, or learning how to be critical and understand that the criticism isn't something that's going to tear you down. It just might make you better.
Yeah.
Is that a maturity thing, or do you think that was fashion? Or?
You know what I think? I think it's one of two things. Either you learn that. You learn this kind of objectivity through tough trial and error. And one thing about fashion is you get reviews at least four times a year. Like, reviews on the front page of the art section, you know, or whatever it is, the fashion reviews, right? And so you learn the objectivity that way. You learn to persevere. You learn not to take it personally. You learn to actually listen if there's anything intelligent being offered, right? But so you either have that, or you're born, like, you know, some movie stars with absolutely no sense of reality, and nothing they do is wrong, and they live like gods and goddesses on Mount Olympus. And even if people say bad things about them, they're wrong. You know, they're just wrong. You know what I mean? It's like, I can't do that because I am so critical and I criticize others so much and I am so self-critical. Is this making sense? So either you learn this thing over trial and error, or you're just born with it. But either way, you get there, you know? And now I feel very ready, and I feel kind of lucky that I'm not extremely bored. Like, I'm the opposite of bored. I am, like, so excited. And I am 58 years old, darling. You know, this is like I'm starting a whole new phase of something at 58. Most people my age are going like, oh, God, another collection. Really? Oh, you know, I mean it. Or even like some people are going at my age, oh, do I really have to do this show again? Do I really have to direct a revival of blah, blah? I mean it. You know, mm-hmm. like I don't know any of those people. Like most of the people that I know who have been in a job forever are quite like still very involved. And, you know, my best friend is Mark Morris. And every time he starts a dance, he's like starting from complete, utter scratch, you know? Mm-hmm. That's just who he is, right? But there are others. I know others in the business, and they're like, oh, if I have to do this one more time. And I never feel like that. I don't. So
I can imagine you just deciding if that inkling, if that started to come into your mind, that you would just walk away from it.
Yes. This is what's happened so often. And, you know, I talk about that a lot, how I tend to leave before I tend to like sort of wrap it up a little on the early side. My friends have jokes about me when I give dinner parties. It's like, yeah, 9:30, please. I'll call you a car. Just get out, you know, by 9:30. No, because, you know, I just want to be in bed. I want the next day to start at that point. I enjoy you. Now, please leave.
And we had a great time.
And we had a great time.
Leave while we're still having a great time.
Exactly. Please leave while everyone is still having a good time. That is important to me. And, you know, I think about like dying and I go, maybe I'm going to die a little too early and that'll be okay. You know, I mean it. I think that's the secret to like... One of my best friend's moms, like, she died in like her mid-80s and she just went to sleep. And like, she never went through that horrible thing about debilitation and forgetfulness and you can't eat and you can't hear. She just died.
That's
and
it was like,
that's the way you want to do it. Even if it's a little too early. No, I mean this, you know? Sorry, I hate to get so existential, but this is...
Public radio, that's why.
This is NPR, right, exactly, yeah.
My guest is Isaac Mizrahi. The name of his new show at the Carlisle is Movie Stars and Supermodels. Goes through February 8th, I believe. How do you feel about, at your shows, people taking pictures? Are you happy to have them take pictures and post them on Instagram?
I don't care. I really don't care. I honestly, you know, because if you care about that, boy, you are sunk. I used to care about it, but now I go, yeah, take the pictures. I don't care. As long as you follow me on Instagram, I am Isaac Mizrahi. I don't care what you do. I jokingly say in the show, I say, everyone, please take out your phones. And then, yeah, no. Please, you can call your mom. Actually, now might be a good time. Or do a little online shopping. I don't care what you do. Just follow me on Instagram. I mean it. And maybe that's because branding has always been such a big, important part of things for me. And
with you here, this has nothing to do with your show. I'm just curious because you said branding is a big thing to do with you.
Mm-hmm.
How do you brand yourself? How does one brand oneself elegantly and not crassly?
All right, that's a good question. And, you know, I have to say this one thing. The whole idea of branding was introduced to me literally in the early 90s by this person called Tibor Kalman, who was one of the great art directors, one of the great ad directors. He was a great thinker, and he was a mentor to me, and he brought it up, and he was like, here's what's coming, darling, branding. And you got to think about it because it'll either be the most ugly thing in the world or pretty fabulous, you know? And here's how you brand elegantly. I think you include everybody, right?
Okay.
I think you lead with complete and total honesty, right? And I remember this, like when I was coming up in the business and... like New York Magazine did this cover story on me about being this new designer. And I remember telling them, oh yeah, I'm gay. And I thought, I thought about it. And I was like, yeah, why would you ever hide that? But this was like in the late 80s when it was something that you might think about.
Yeah.
And I remember after the article came out, this friend of mine who had worked at Calvin Klein, he was the public relations director, Paul Wilmot. He was like, oh darling, I'm so sorry they outed you. And I was like, oh, no, it wasn't an outing, right? And then later, like 2 years later, there was another cover of New York Magazine, a picture of K.D. Lang, and the headline was Lesbian Chic, right? And so I saw Paul at a cocktail party. I said, hey, Paul, Like, I was a lesbian way before K.D. Lang, remember? And it was like a joke, and it's funny, right? But that's what I mean by branding. It's like, mm-hmm. if you can't be completely honest, then branding is going to bite you in the ass, you know? Mm-hmm. It's going to bite you in the ass.
How has Instagram, for you, been good for branding?
I don't know. It's just like, it is this crazy, ridiculous thing that I pay way too much attention to, you know, mm-hmm. in good ways, because it can be hilarious, and in bad ways, because you go like, wait a minute, why does, you know, Andy Cohen have money, like a million more followers mm-hmm. than me? You know, I'm an interesting middle-aged homosexual. I deserve at least as many followers, but you know, so it can get a little bit like, you know, daunting.
Yeah.
But I think if there's humor involved and you're as visual as I am, it can be really fun, you know. And also you have to believe that in the end it's good, because if you don't, you're extinct.
My guest is Azmi Mizrahi, the name of his new show, The Carlyles, Movie Stars and Supermodels. I mentioned in the intro about Unzipped being 25 years
old. Right.
When was the last time you watched Unzipped?
I know. I watched it about a year ago in great, great, great detail. I actually transcribed it because I'm working on something. Mm-hmm. I'm working on a musical adaptation of it. So that's crazy. I know, right?
That's fun.
I know. It could be really fun. Yeah. So that's when I watched it last.
When you saw it, what popped out to you that came true? Something you seen, that came true.
Well, I mean, you know, I have to say this, which is like, it all came true. You know, I don't know if you ever read this book called, I think it was Dr. Faustus by Thomas Mann. Do you know that book? It's an amazing book. And in it, there are literally, I don't know, four or five really long essays about how nature imitates itself, you know? Like, there's like a pane of glass that has like a frozen pattern of a spider web, and then there's a spider web. So it's like you don't really know which is the real one, mm-hmm. or there's like this thing that grows that looks like an orchid, but it's not really an orchid. It's like a weed, but then there's an actual orchid. So it's like nature is imitating itself, right? And I thought about this when I was a kid. It was like, I am now doing an imitation of what I am going to be when I actually arrive,
yes.
Like I am now doing an imitation of what I think I'm going to be, which is basically vision. It's what you envision, right? And so that's what I have to say. I'm looking at Unzip going like, oh, that came to, oh, right. Yeah, that's who I am now. You know, I didn't exactly know it at the time, but that's who I actually am. Yeah.
This is a hacky question, but I love
not at
the
all,
answers.
Please.
What would you go back and tell that version of yourself?
Why'd I go back and tell that version?
Because you know that person, and that person, you know, the person's about to make some mistake, or is getting caught in something, stuck.
I would say, like, if I could possibly ever make this happen, like, try to relax and enjoy yourself a little bit more, you know, and because I was never able to like just relax and like let it happen and enjoy myself. Never. Even now, I'm still kind of getting the grasp of that. And, you know, I guess I'm like this real type A kind of a guy. My husband seems to be, I mean, he's also like very, tortured, you know, like everybody has a dark side to them.
Sure.
But he seems to be this kind of person who can actually like relax into something and just enjoy it, you know. Mark Morris, I'm trying to think of like my friends, people that I know who can actually just be in a place and enjoy it, right? And I could never do that. And I would like to learn to do that.
So when you look back and see.
I look back and I see and I go like, hey, stop clenching everything. Stop it, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You should be that. You think about those moments and you're like, God, I just should have been rolling around in the happy of it all, right?
Oh, my God. And all I did, like, I'm not kidding. I would get the tapes after the show and go home. Like, there were VHS tapes in those days. I'd pop them into my thing and I'd just gnash my teeth going, what the hell? Oh, my God. I can't believe how bad that looks. I mean, it's just stupid. Stupid. And then I'd get, like, the greatest review of my life, you know? Yeah.
But that's your drive, too.
Maybe.
It's part of your ambition.
Yeah.
To keep going. But I guess you, as an adult, as a grown-up, you know that you don't have, that doesn't have to hurt.
No, it does not have to hurt, and you don't have to overthink things. You don't. And I have a sleep disorder, and that's, I think, part of it, you know? Yeah. I mean, I wish I could just sleep, right? I wish I could just let everything down for a minute and just, because I do enjoy sleeping when I finally do. You know, I'm torn about it.
How do you come down after a show like at the Carlisle? You have to be up, amped, plugged in.
Oh, honey.
And then what do you do after?
Tranquilizer, anyone? Prescription medication, darling? Xanax?
Yeah. You really need to go there for that?
I kind of do. I mean, you know, well, most times I do. Yes, absolutely. I mean, I'm sorry. That's the honest truth.
You gotta get sleep.
You gotta
do
something. Yeah, exactly. Because or else you'd be up to like 4 in the morning. And then, you know, I honestly love the morning. I really love the morning. I love like sort of, I go swimming in the morning.
Oh.
Yeah, I swim at a gym in Midtown. And I love having breakfast out. That's a kooky thing about me. I love cooking breakfast, but I like even more when someone cooks me breakfast and I pay them and I can be like objective and say that wasn't good or good.
It's also just sort of a launch of the day.
Yes.
It's sort of a,
exactly.
My day has started. The name of the show is Isaac Mizrahi, Movie Stars and Supermodels. It is at the Carlisle through February 8th. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you. You're just the best.
This is all of it.
I mean it.
Oh, you're nice.
WNYC Studios is supported by the community of writers, presenting live online short courses in the Writers Annex. Upcoming in 2024, Sylvia Plath, James Joyce's Ulysses, and Emily Dickinson. Instructors include Victoria Chang, Robert Haas, Brenda Hillman, Peter Orner, and Matthew Zapruder. Learn more at communityofwriters.org.